It would appear from this last phrase of the gospel passage we just heard. When we see the astonishment at all of the people that are around our Lord, even his own disciples, who is this? That even the wind and sea obey. That their faith was not very strong. Our Lord was right to ask, do you not yet have faith? And we must ask ourselves that question too. Do we have faith? That is, do we believe that our Lord can and has the capability, is God, can achieve such a miracle as calming the sins in the wave and the waves? Even the waves and the turbulence of our own days and our own lives. Do we yet have that faith? Now, I suppose, well, we would, if we were caught in a boat in a violent storm, being filled with water and about to sink, we'd be all terrified. That we can understand. But then when they see what our Lord does and still question, there's where. Then our Lord asks rightly, do they still have faith? Do they have faith? And if they do, just how strong is it? Doesn't seem to be very strong. Well, the saint we celebrate today had great faith from the time he was very, very young and achieved great things, even from the time that he was a young boy. I refer to St. John Bosco, who died only in 1888. But was able to use that faith that he had to achieve great things. And that faith started, as I said, when the time he was a young boy. He was already catechizing the children, his own boys, his own age, from the time he was very young. But he would do it by attracting them with the magic tricks that he learned when he saw in a circus. He had an exquisite photographic memory and could see something done or hear a sermon preached and then come home and repeat it verbatim. Right, so when he saw tricks done, he was able to repeat them and do them, perform them himself just as perfectly, just by observing it once. That was the end. He learned many trades as well by that means and was able to teach the boys that. So he attracted them with his tricks, and he was strong, he was very athletic, very hard to beat. He was very good in acrobatics, running, etc., and he outdid all the other boys, even boys older than he, so he was quite strong. And he was able to attract all these many boys in Turin, where he was from, in Italy. And he catechized them, even as a boy. And then after, actually had a dream where he saw these sheep, this vast sea of sheep, and in the midst of that sheep was our Blessed Lady, calling him to feed these sheep, to take care of these sheep. And he understood from that dream that he had a vocation to the priesthood, and he entered the seminary. And by the way, he had a very tender devotion to Our Lady, particularly under her title of Our Lady, Help of Christians. And he worked many prodigies, many miracles throughout his life, always using that title, always invoking Our Lady, Help of Christians. And after the priesthood, he founded what he called an oratory. It was a group, actually started catechizing boys again. Started with one boy that came to the sacristy. And the sacristan was shooing him out, and St. John came to the boy's rescue and stopped him right there. And he spoke to the boy. And when the boy asked him, must I get out? He said, no, you stay right here. I need a friend like you. And he began to catechize him. The following week, the boy brought down half a dozen boys, and the number kept growing every week. And that became St. John's apostolate, taking care of these boys, teaching them trades to keep them off the streets so that they could learn to be productive members of society, and teaching them their faith. and he would continue to write pamphlets to spread that faith. Became patron of editors, of, among other things. But that was he spent the rest of his life taking care of these boys, and his numbers grew quite considerably. And he founded a religious congregation in order to carry out this apostolate. Became one of the biggest in the world, the Salesians of Saint Francis de Sales, actually the Salesians. He placed it under the auspices of Saint Francis de Sales. And he founded it as a comparable one also for the women. And thus he spent his life very much with great strength and courage to the very end, until he was so worn that they had to hold him up to preach. He died at the age of 74. And basically simply of exhaustion more than anything else. But that was the great faith that carried him through such a heavy work, with very little to work with, yet achieving such great things in bringing all these boys off the streets and teaching them all these trades so that they could, as I said, be productive members of society, and founding his own congregation. And by the way, before he founded his congregation, he was a secular Franciscan. And so we see here one of great faith in the midst of many tribulations, and there were many to suffer. There where he was in Turin, that was under the government of the Masons, so he had much to suffer, many trials, but he came through it all with great faith, above all a very great faith in Our Lady, help of Christians, but of course a great faith in our Lord as well, that he could accomplish whatever God gave him to do, and it was a heavy task, and he fulfilled it to the point that at the end he had the great consolation of the visit of Our Lady at the moment of his death to lead him into paradise. Let us then seek that faith also. We are all called to it, every one of us. We are all called to holiness, to our union with God. And that we cannot do it without great faith in him, that he will bring us to that union. Without the grace of God, we cannot achieve it. But with the grace of God, we can achieve whatever he asks us to do. And let us do so. Carry on with great faith. Praise be Jesus and Mary.